Welcome to the third episode of Hashing It Out with Javi. Today, I have a good friend of mine I've known for many years, all the way back to elementary.
Yeah,
way back in the day, man. Bam, it's a long time ago. His name is Jaime, and his son Andrew's here with us. Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
Good. Just kind of trying to stay alive.
What, is the corona killing you?
Should. I mean.
Boredom's doing it, right?
Boredom, yeah. Right? The corona lifestyle.
Barely leaving the house.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to bring these two on today because Jaime's been a friend of mine for many years. We've known each other for a long time. Went to elementary, junior high, high school together. And him and I are still talking shit and having jokes to this day. And we're grown-ass men.
Yeah, I mean, I think age is mental, right? I mean, well, first of all, let me just say, fuck you, Eddie Kilo. Now that that's out of the way.
Yeah, fuck Eddie, we love you, but fuck you.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's, I think it's shit talk. Just, I think it keeps you young.
For sure. 100%.
The second that you stop knowing how to talk shit to someone, just fucking get off social media. That's it. Just go read a book.
And that's kind of what men do, right? We've just been talking shit. We've been talking shit since we were kids. Speaking of Eddie. So Jaime, he's known as Viva Los Doyers on Instagram. And a lot of you guys who follow me on Instagram will know him because a lot of you guys follow the comments where him and Eddie, that's Eddie Kilo. Is it Eddie Kilo?
Eddie Kilo 19,
right? So these guys just be talking shit all day in the comments. And there's literally like a bunch of followers in there laughing. They think it's hilarious.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I don't wake up thinking like, oh, I'm going to talk shit to Eddie. Like sometimes it just catches me by surprise. Like I'll get the notification. I'm like, fuck, I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah, there's just shit talking that goes on all day, all night. It's legit. It's funny. The crazy thing about this, though, is that we've been doing this for fucking decades.
Yeah, and it just transitions, you know, from, like you said, you know, bus rides, walking home or just even like football practice, talking shit to each other.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets old.
Never gets old. Yeah, but speaking of bus rides, I remember back in high school with Eddie, me and Eddie and Peter Taggles. When Peter was fat, now he's skinny. But back in the day, it was Peter, me and Eddie, and like every football ride there and back, we would just be talking shit.
You know, it's funny because it's a little bit different from, Andrew does music. So, he's at Santa Barbara High School, does the band there, right?
Yeah.
Jazz band. And
it's a badass band, by the way.
You know what? Props to these guys because I know that I can't carry a note anymore. So I could barely even think and talk at the same time.
Yeah, well, he tries to sing, you know.
Oh, hey.
Does he sing Selena at home?
No, he knows better.
No, but I think, you know, it's, you know, when you talk about like the bus rides and, you know, the smack talk and all that stuff, you know, I go on field trips with these guys, like band competitions, stuff like that. And, you know, it's one of those things that you appreciate, you know, that every kid is going to find their niche, and whether it's music or, you know, I mean, you know, your son, he does dance. His own thing.
Yeah. Right? He does dance. Yeah. It's a good point. So, excuse me, my son went through a rough time when he was young, when I got full custody of him, and, it's about 7 and a half, maybe a little longer than that. But, you know, around that time when I got custody of him, and he went through a rough time, and it was a pretty difficult time for him. And he found hip hop dance. And I remember thinking to myself, the first time he showed it to me, it was kind of crazy. And I'm going to hopefully not make him a little bit too embarrassed. But I had came home one day after a long day, and he came up to me. He's like, hey, Dad, check this out, man. I want to show you something. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. What's that? And he's like, just play this song right here on YouTube. And don't judge me. He might not remember this because he was young. He was like 10. And he might hate me after this conversation that I'm telling everybody.
Was it Baby Shark?
Yeah, Baby Shark, dude. No. But but the funny thing is that he says, hey, just play the song and don't judge me. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? So I sit on the couch and I play the song and he just starts dancing. And he was like busting out this crazy hip-hop routine. And I'm like, holy shit, how'd you learn that, man? I was just shocked and impressed because he'd been through soccer. He was a black belt in taekwondo, working on his second degree at the time. I mean, he had done all these other things in his life, but that was like something that just, I saw a brightness in his face that I never saw, especially since he had been through a really dark time and a tough time. And I was like, damn, Papa, you're really good. And he's like, Dad, you really think so? I said, fuck yeah, you're amazing. It's really good. And I remember telling him, I said, look, if you're into this thing, like, I think you found a thing. And if you're into it, I will totally support it. You know what I mean? I'll pay whatever I have to do, take you where I have to do. This is something that's really, I can see that you love. And it was crazy to me, man. And I never seen a love in a kid like that ever in my life. And it was my child. So I was like, dude, this is it. This is his thing. And I'm going to say this, making myself look a little bad, is that when he found his thing, I was like, to me, that was amazing because I didn't find my thing. I don't think I still found my thing. I think my thing at that age was chasing chicks. Well, maybe not 10, but a little bit later, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, I, even when I was 23, I was still, hadn't found my thing.
Trying to figure out
life. And so I was like, dude, he found his passion. This is his thing. And to this day, I mean, earlier today, he was out with his friends and doing hip hop dance and training and stuff like that. And it's cool to watch kids find their niche, man. So you found it with a band, huh? What do you play?
I play the trumpet, and then I started trying to branch out, and I learned the trombone last year.
The trombone, the don't.
Yeah, that's cool. I started playing that for like 5 months, was it?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
So he was actually doing dual bands because he was at Santa Barbara Junior High, and he was admitted to play, or he was allowed to play at Santa Barbara High School. So
Oh, shit. So you're good.
I don't know.
He's not just good. He's good.
Well, so, I don't know. Like, playing with the upperclassmen at the high school was kind of helpful because, you know, you learn the atmosphere. It also helps you want to be better because you're like, wow, these people are really good.
Yeah.
It only really helps you, like, want to practice, get to that level. One of my friends who goes there, his name's David. He's really good. My dad knows him.
But does your dad like him? That's the question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, it's those kids when you talk about like camaraderie and you know, like shit talking and all that stuff.
Sure.
You see that you know, what we remember in football, what we remember with our kids, it's just not that. It translates to everything else. So you're going to have your niche with kids that are, you know, like in music, and they know their own thing. They, you know, they do their own smack talk or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, some of these kids are amazing.
Yeah,
you know, for me, when I realized that, you know, growing up, I wanted them to do sports. I wanted them to do baseball. I wanted them to do, you know, football, whatever, something. And when I realized that wasn't for them, because they let me know, I was like, all right, cool. Well, you guys got to do something. And they picked up music, and it's just like you said, you want to support them. You want to make sure that
absolutely,
you know, you're focused. And you know, I don't think I've missed a single performance for these guys. I try to be there as much as I can, and you know, you realize that you're there not just for your kids.
Yeah.
You realize that there's a lot of kids out there that need that support. A lot of the parents don't show up. They might be busy or whatever. But, you know, if a child comes up to you and says, like, hey, you know, thank you, I appreciate this. Or, you know, you have some kids that will come up to you and be like, yeah, I'm going to call you dad. And I'm like, yeah, well, like, you know.
Daddy Jaime.
But the thing is, you know, you got to be able to support them and you know, whether you agree with what your kid likes at the moment, you know, be open-minded. And I think, you know, the advice that I'd give parents out there that, you know, if it's not your thing, it's okay. You had your childhood.
That's huge, you know? Man. That's huge. That's really big. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So for me, like when I remember when my son was like, I want to be a dancer. I was like, the first minute I saw him, I was like, this is it for him. But that's because our situation, though, that was kind of a unique situation. But I had also watched him excel and struggle at the same time in other things. Like I said, he was literally at the point to get a second black belt, a second degree black belt on Taekwondo. And he was really good because he was super flexible. He was athletic, but it wasn't his thing. Like I was kind of pushing him to do that, you know? And I watched him as I pushed him, I watched him get excited about, oh, I got to this belt and I got to that belt, but it wasn't his thing. When he found dance, that was his thing. So it's like really important to really support your kids when they find their thing, you know what I mean? So that's, and a lot of people, like you said, oh, my son's not a football player, he's not this or that. I'm like, dude, I've been talking to my friends who are some of the toughest motherfuckers, you know me, some tough hood motherfuckers in this world. I've been talking to my friends who are some real good guys, and we talk about my kid, and they were like, hey man, that's amazing. Like, we wish as tough as we, you know, this group of guys were when we were young, we wish we found our thing, man. That's amazing. You know, so it's really, really important, man. It's and like you said, there's a camaraderie amongst these groups of kids. That's the same thing that I had and that you had and whatever else had, but it's in this thing, you know. And I think, what's wrong with music? The reality is music is amazing. Come on. I am tone deaf. Like, there's a guitar over there in my my office that I have, and I have it there for one reason only, because most things in my life I can kind of figure out and solve mathematically or process wise in my brain, but music, it's so hard for me. So I have it there to humble me, and I play it probably like once a month.
Yeah.
to humble me, man. To be like, hey, man, I don't know this thing, but you can do that thing, you know?
That's like a really interesting thing about music. It's like, it's a huge part of life when you get into it, because it's like a second language you have to learn. It's now this huge part of your life, and if you really want to like dedicate your life to music, it's a big commitment. It can take you a lot of places in life. I think I want to try to hang on to music as long as possible, but you know, as much as that is like something that I want, it will always come down to like college, you know?
Yeah.
Can I, is this something that I can, you know, still hang on to while trying to get my education to go somewhere in life, like get a really good paying job? It's all about time management, I guess. But I really want to try to hang on to music as long as possible.
Damn, you're raising a good kid, bro. He's got his head on his shoulder. How old are you?
14.
He's 14 years old, people. I wish I had that mentality at 25.
You know what? But I think a lot of that has to do with just like the environment, the people that we bring around. And, you know, it's not just the parents. I think, you know, when somebody says it takes a village, it really does. I mean, you can pull, you know, advice from a friend, from a cousin, from whatever. And I think it's, you know, as a child, you have to be able to understand that, you know, it's like, okay, maybe my parents aren't my go-to on this one, you know? Right. And, you know, I'm thankful that I can't take full credit for, you know, everything that Andrew knows or what he does. I mean, he's had great teachers. You know, his mom is very, you know, strict to certain things that she wants him to do. I tend to be strict, but I'm also a little bit more lenient sometimes.
So you're the soft dad?
No, I mean, I can be.
Not really.
Let the kid tell it.
Yeah. How am I?
I don't know. It kind of depends on the day. Yeah. Your mood is, you have like a few, but they're all fairly similar. Just like, I'll go easy on them. You don't want
to. Don't go easy on them. No, give it to them.
No. Like,
I want to hear all this.
When you're in a mood, sometimes you can tell, like you'll walk in the room. It's like, he's mad. Work wasn't good, man. Don't just let him be. Don't like come to him with your problems, because he's been through a lot today.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, and guilty. You know, I tend to wear my emotions on my sleeve sometimes, and you know, which is why I say that it takes a village. I mean, I know that there's going to be those days where I can't give him the attention that he needs, but you know, we have, you know, in our household, we're a household of five. You know, when I came into my wife's life, you know, she had Alex. Alex is, you know, was her oldest. So,
and that's why he made the intro music.
The intro to,
and you. Shout out to Alex for making the music to the intro, hashing it out with Javi. Thank you, brother, man. Love you.
So, you know, when you need the outro with some trumpets, you go to.
Or you need music, whatever. We got you.
Yeah. We got the plug right here.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I wanted to give him his plug because he's the man.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. Alex. And he actually has a song out right now. He just put one out.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
We'll have to link that in the Instagram.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I like I said, you know, it takes a village. You know, he's a good kid, has a, you know, strong head on his shoulders, but you know, I think it's gonna have challenges every day. You know, it's hard to be a kid, it's hard to be, you know, a teenager, and God knows it's hard to be my son.
Yeah. And you know what though, don't be so hard on your dad. My kid said something on a couple of podcasts ago, he said, kids, don't be so hard on your parents. They're trying too. Because the reality is, man, life is crazy and we're learning too. You know, we're all learning. If anyone ever tells you they got it figured out, don't trust that person. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's you know, it's funny because, you know, my best friend's growing up, he just has a baby. He, you know, newborn is going to be a year old. And,
right.
And he asked me, he's like, you know, what advice would you give me? And I just told him, you know, don't blink.
Yeah.
Don't blink. And the truth is that, you know, whatever you can hold on to, you know, with a camera, with, you know, whatever recordings or whatever you can do, do it, because, you know, they're going to grow up. Next thing you know, they're hashing it out with Javi.
Andrew, 14 years old over here doing a podcast. Right? That's crazy, man. That's wild, man. No, it's very good advice. I think when it comes to raising kids, I think, we're young parents. I consider myself a young parent. So I had my kid when I was 23. I was definitely not ready to be a parent. If I think about that today, that's 6 years older than my son now.
Yeah.
All right, 5.5 years younger than my son now. I was definitely not ready to be a parent, but I became ready to be a parent, you know? So a lot of my life with my son is growing up together. We kind of raised each other in a sense. And while I had all the things that my parents gave me to kind of use to influence him on the way I wanted him to be as an adult, it's, we're still growing up together at the end of the day. So I really appreciated what my son said a couple podcasts ago, like, you know, okay, kids, be easy on your parents. So be easy on your parent. All right, Andrew, he's trying.
Goes both ways.
It does.
It does.
Ooh, terco.
It does. You know, just at the end of the day, just know, you know, it's respect your elders, and I'm always right.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm not trying to start shit, but it does go both ways. But, you know, you're right, though, man. But honestly, man, I'm gonna call you this, mijo. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
All right? I mean, that's cool, because I thought you were a lot, when I met you, I thought you were a little bit older. So that means you have a, what I like to say, an old soul. And kids like Andrew and my son, they make me be a little bit less apprehensive to be worried about the future. You know what I mean? There's good kids out there still, you know?
And you know, bringing it back to the podcast with your son, the first one where you guys talk about, you know, music and you know, how you guys are talking about the dude with the Capri Sun, and people started asking, like, oh, well, you know, that song.
I meant cranberry juice. I messed that one up, but.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
But the thing is that, like,
Dogface 420 or whatever.
He loves that guy.
Yeah. Well, and
that does was he love him?
Yeah.
I was following him before that TikTok.
Really? Really? Yeah. Oh, good shit.
I send us like these
I used
videos.
To spam. I used
so
to spam.
Your dad is like your dad jocks Dogface 420.
Oh hell yeah! That guy's like, fucking hilarious, bro. Have you seen the ones with his
shoes? Yeah, he's funny. Yeah, he's dope. Yeah. No, I was watching him before too. When he hit, I was like, oh shit, he hit. You know, like, this is it.
And like, you feel good. You feel good for the guy. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever. It is what it is. You know, fuck, sucks. Because I want to get a fucking million views.
Just tattoo a feather in the back of your ear, bro.
Steady, huh?
You got it.
Fuck, do that. but I forgot where I was going with this.
Sorry, man. I mean, good job. Oh, you were talking about. I don't even
see,
know.
You lost it too. Rewind.
Sorry, 2 minutes. No, we're good. We were. It's just.
Music.
Music. Yes.
So we're talking about music. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'll walk into their room, and you know, it's either going to be. You know, he got Logic on the radio, or jazz, or, you know, if RJ's, you know, his brother also, my oldest, he's all about the 80s music. So when you walk into our house, it's going to be a mix of music. I mean, me, I'm going to be listening to, you know, banda, you know, some
Selena, don't lie, fool.
Hey, you know what? Hey, some bitty bitty bum bum, you know? Hell
bitty
yeah.
Bitty bitty bum bum.
Hey, you're going to tell me that if that's not on the radio, you're not going to listen to it?
Of course. I'm going to shake my ass too.
Right? So, hey, I think that's just our upbringing.
Of course, man. Selena was anything for Selena's.
Yeah, huh? Boy, I'll lose a bumper for her.
I want to hit that bumper. All right. Anyways. So your household is full of a lot of different mixtures of music.
Just
and
music. But I think a lot of it is just that, you know, for me, like it's one of those, oh, damn, we got shot.
I told you earlier about that. It ran Oxnard.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're cool. You're cool. You're good. You missed it.
No, so the thing is that, like, you know, I think the influence of music, it's always going to be there. And I like that these guys, you know, have their own style. Like, they don't have to follow, you know, what I like. And, you know, I actually prefer that. I prefer that they do their own thing. Do I agree with some of the music that's out there? No, but I tolerate, you know, whatever's put out there.
Yeah.
And I respect that someone's actually out there making their music, you know, because it's, you know, it's not a given that you're going to be successful at it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that was cool. So when your stepson Alex was making that intro, he's like, what do you want? I was like, dude, I want it to be like Triumph from Wu-Tang. I'm like, just give me some kind of hard hitting. And he came back with a couple of things. I was like, oh, okay. A little bit faster, a little bit harder. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, the thing about me, though, is, like, I don't know music. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was, like, in the fifth grade, I tried playing the trumpet. Oh, I sound like I was just blowing farts all day. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to play the trumpet. But I'm telling you, I'm tone deaf.
You're like, man. I don't need an instrument for this.
Yeah, I'm tone deaf. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I got frijoles. You know? So, I'm, like, I'm totally tone deaf in a sense. And that's why, like, I had that guitar. Because it's a thing to remind me that it humbles me a lot. And that's the crazy thing about instruments is, like, they say to have a well-rounded man, you should have, and I'm paraphrasing here, you should have a warrior, a musician, and a student, pretty much, someone who, or an academic, you know what I mean? So to have a well-rounded man, like, you should have all those things. Like, you're doing this thing with music, right? Find a battle sport you can go learn, whether it's jiu-jitsu or whatever else and anything else. And then someday you kick your dad's ass.
Well, he actually did capoeira for how many years?
I don't know. But the thing about that was, it's the way they described it, it's more like an acrobatic type thing. There's really no contact at all.
Right.
Really a lot of movement. You know, just gotta keep moving with that. Jumping around the whole place, but really no contact.
Yeah, well, but
you can make contact. I mean, you know, pretend that, oh shit, my bad, and then bam, you just hit the dude in the face.
Yeah. Or kick him in the nuts. Whatever works. No, but what I'm saying is that, like, that's still a martial art in a sense.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is a well-rounded man has these things, right? They're academically strong. They're physically, they find something physically to do. That doesn't mean you got to be the strongest guy in the gym, but you got to find a way to punch someone in the face if you have to.
Just don't be the weakest.
And music is another part of it, man, which is part of arts, right? So you have artistic value to you. So that's really cool. I'm excited to see this generation of kids really step up to that plate, because I think they're different, man. They're way different. Like, you and I were latchkey kids, man. We kind of raised ourselves. Our parents will hate the fact that I'm saying this. My mom will want to punch me in the face, but we really did kind of raise ourselves in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have babysitters. We had vaya con Dios. I'll see you later after work. And if anyone hurts anybody, call me. Don't call the cops and don't answer the door.
And then if you get hurt, get your ass home and I'll kick your ass for getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a different thing, man. So I wanted to talk about, you know, you and I, this is why you're here, by the way, is because we talked about the podcast with my kid and kind of how you and your son had listened to it together, and it kind of touched you guys in a lot of ways. It made you guys kind of think like, oh shit, this is kind of our situation too, or whatever it might be. And I got a lot of those kind of messages back in the podcast, which was wild to me. By the way, to this day, I thought the first two episodes, which were like 2 weeks ago, I think the second one was 2 weeks ago, I haven't had one since. I thought the amount of people messaging me saying, hey, thank you for talking about mental health, thank you for talking about these tough situations and about kids and those kinds of things, I thought that would stop, but it's still continuing. And I'm really humbled by that. And I think I'm thankful that people are listening, you know, because when we did this, I didn't think it was going to be a thing at all. Yeah. I thought me and my son are going to be bullshitting, because to me, it was something I wanted my son to have. Like, when I'm gone,
yeah,
when I'm stardust after this,
go back.
I wanted my kid to be able to go back and say, I had this thing with my dad when I was, you know, 17 years old, you know, and that's an important thing. But the fact that it touched so many people, I was like, holy crap, this is crazy, you know? And I remember talking to you and I was like, well, it really, like,
yeah, and you know, it's like with Andrew, like, you know, we're pretty open about stuff that's going on. But, you know, I asked Andrew, like, you know, hey, give me your point of view. Like, what'd you think of the podcast? And so what'd you think?
I mean, it was really good. I mean, for a first go, I mean, obviously your background with on another podcast helped, but you know, the fact that it was just kind of like talking, you know, being just there, having a regular conversation, but the fact that other people can connect with it is kind of special, because now you have this platform that people can come to and kind of connect with you. It's kind of cool when you get to see how people have that. It's like, wow, there's someone else out there like me.
This kid's impressive, man.
Yeah,
I'm impressed with this kid. 14, really 14? Are you at least 14 and a half?
Yeah, actually, well, yeah.
he's almost 15?
He's going to get a quinceañera.
Right, no. After 16, I'll give you the same credit. I'm just saying.
No, but I think, you know, when we talked about the podcast, it's something that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to relate, but a lot of people don't know how to have those conversations with their child. I think that, you know, it's hard to... It's already hard to kind of just sit there with them and be like, hey, how was your day?
Right.
So can you imagine as a parent having to say like, hey, like, no, like, really, how is your day? And, you know, mental health is a big thing. I think that there's so many kids that just kind of avoid it. They put it in the back burner. They choose not to talk about it because they feel like it might lead to something else or an argument or whatever. And, you know, we just celebrated, you know, RJ's my other son, and you know, celebrated his birthday, and we had a friend that came over and said, you know, hey, I just want you to know that I'm thankful for you. And this is a grown up man that said, I'm thankful, you know, because you guys are always happy, that there's always something about you that, you know, even though I'm having a bad day and I've had my bad days and I've, you know, battled depression or whatever, you guys cheer me up. And, you know, that's the power of just being a friend. Yeah. That's the power of just being around and letting someone know, like, hey, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
A couple days ago, I don't know if you heard, but you know, there was a guy that jumped off a bridge in Santa Barbara.
I didn't hear that, man. Dang, crazy.
And you know, it's at first it was, you know, I was driving down and I saw, you know, traffic stopped, and I look over and I exited the freeway, and I could see that the tarp was on it. It was a yellow tarp, and
I missed that.
And you know, I quickly went home, looked, you know, what was going on, and there was no story about it. And normally, like, you know, they're not going to report when it's a suicide. Right. They just don't. The media really respects, you know, mental health that way. But I wish that they would at least speak about it or put out like a statement saying like, hey, this is, you know, this is real.
Do they respect it? Or do they just, it's not that big of a story to them because it's not going to make them money. I feel like that's probably more than
respect it. You know, I think that might be more accurate. Yeah. That I think that that's not, there's no shock value to it. That you, right. You kind of want to make headlines. But, you know, then I read more on Ed Hat and I went back to look, and they said that the guy jumped from the Lacumbre Bridge
into traffic.
He jumped. What the story says that he didn't hit any cars or no cars hit the person, but he was like in the median, and it was a 40-year-old person. So, you know, it's like I sit there and I think about like, dude, I'm 40.
Yeah,
like,
our age.
Who do I know? Like, who was it? And it's hard because you know you want to be around for everyone, and you know if you're listening out there, whoever it is, you know just know that you're not alone. You know, yeah. Reach out to someone. There's always someone that's going to be there for you. You know, it's not a lonely world. It's a big world, but it's not a lonely world.
It's tough, man. So when you talk about that in Santa Barbara, it brings up a lot of emotions for me personally. So I had a really good friend named Rogelio Medina and Kyle Van Tassel, two of my good friends from elementary. Rogelio killed himself by jumping off a bridge in Santa Barbara. He was one of my best friends growing up, man. It pains my heart and soul a lot when I think about that. So he did the same thing in Santa Barbara. Kyle came back from war after being in Iraq. I think it was Iraq for a long time. And there was this huge kind of standoff. He had a gun and stuff, I think.
Same bridge that I'm talking
about.
Same
bridge you're talking about, yeah. And on that bridge, there's another woman who died from high school, Diana.
Right off.
She got thrown off the car, and they still never solved her. I think it was a murder. They say she jumped out. I think there was a murder. But long story short, is back to kind of the mental health situation. Like when it comes to men, like there's a lot of men struggling. And I'm glad to have you guys on this podcast. And this is kind of where I'm kind of want to take this podcast going forward in a sense is I want to have it be funny and lightweight and have a lot of stuff too. But I also want to bring a lot of awareness to men in their situations, because I think right now in today's society, there's a lot of women empowerment, women this, women that. We're kind of forgetting that there's a lot of men that are still struggling out there a lot. And I've been touched if I count Kyle's situation, which was insane. Rogelio's, rest in peace. My best friend Manny, rest in peace. If I started to count the amount of times that I've had men in my life that I cared about either hurt themselves or life take them in a tough direction, it gets overwhelming for me. So that's why when you brought this up, it just triggered me to think of these things that were like many years ago. And I just think that mental health is a fucking thing we have to talk about when it comes to men. It's real. It's an extremely important thing, man.
It's real. And I think, you know, it's important to be able to talk to, you know, kids about it and tell kids, you know, like, hey, it's okay to talk about it. You know, there's plenty of help, you know, out there. It might not be your parents. It might not be your uncle. You know, that's fine. You know what? There's people out there that talk to you. There's doctors, you know, and you don't have to, you know, stick with the one that you're given. If you don't like it, cool. You know what? Let's find another one. And, you know, you go on and so forth. Right. But, you know, I think just being able to speak it and being able to have that one person that you can go back and talk to, you know, just letting someone know like, hey, look, I'm here for you.
Totally. And that's what it's all about, man. So anyone who's out there listening right now, seriously, if you have somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, a friend from high school, a friend from 5 years ago, a friend that they used to be really close to, man, just reach out to them. Because you'd be surprised how much that could really help out people. It's really important. It's extremely important. I don't want to sit in this dark space too long, but I'm glad you brought it up, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it needs to be talked about. And you know, I thank you for bringing it up, the first one. And, you know, it's going to go on. I think, you know, the more people hear about it, you know, the more that it's going to touch home and say, like, you know what, maybe I could make a difference. Maybe I could talk to someone. And just reach out. You don't have to, you know, kind of sit there and investigate or sit there and question someone like, but are you really okay? No, it's just like, hey, look, you know, you're loved. Or like, hey, just thinking about you. Hope everything's all right.
Hey, what's up, fool? I love you. Yeah. That's all you got to say.
Fuck you, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, fool? I love you. Yeah, fuck you, Eddie. Eddie Kilo 19, fuck you, puto.
Yeah. Joe Rico. Just kidding. Hey.
Joe Rico, too. That motherfucking asshole. Kansas City Chiefs fan. Fucking piece of shit.
Are you still his...
Sorry, me whole earmuffs.
Are you still his Man Crush Monday?
He loves... He's going to love me forever.
He is, huh? Hey. Fuck. And I think him and Sato are secretly...
Ah, fuck Sato. Just kidding, Sato. I love you. I give Sato a hard time, though.
So are you ever going to unblock him?
No.
He's still blocked.
Yeah. Still blocked. Because you can't block me 5 times because you get upset at me in like 1 year and then be like, oh, I wanted you to block me now. No, I live and die by my bullshit. That's my bullshit. You know what I mean?
So Sato's my brother.
That's your uncle. Culero.
And I'm only on this podcast because I want to establish that bridge to connect them again. This is an intervention.
That's silly shit.
But I actually want to, I see that Andrew has a list there. What is that there?
What is that list? Let's see that list. Oh, topics. So on my Instagram, I asked earlier today, like, give me some topics so we can answer some topics about what people want me to talk about or us today to talk about on this podcast. So I want to know, like, what are some topics? And there's a bunch. By the way, we got like, I printed 4 sheets of them, but I probably got about 150. But I printed the 4 sheets that I think I could probably talk about with the 14-year-old. Young man.
So are the other podcast like after hours?
Yeah, after hour, maybe the next podcast when it's me. When you
dim the lights.
The torta whisper after dark. We'll do that. But let's see what we're gonna hand it over to Andrew and see what he's got going on that list.
When I first got the list, this one question really resonated with me. Red or green salsa?
You
want to
go first?
I'll go first. So I like both because I think that's a broad question. Let me explain that. So I think green salsa, like green enchiladas, my favorite. Way better than red enchiladas. Way better.
This guy's hungry.
You like that, huh? Sounded good, right?
My mom's enchiladas verde, they're so good.
Yeah.
She made them with mole one time. I was like, nah, take this away.
Yeah, so green.
Some things, you know, just red or green, that's how they are. Can't be changed, you know. But
I would say that I think, like you said, it depends. You can like them both, but, you know, you can't have like a taco de lengua with red salsa. It has to be green. That's true.
It's got
to
be green, yeah. You know? Exactly.
So it's tacos de cabeza, green.
Green.
You know, you can't go red. So I think it depends on, I'm going to say both. You have to go both.
Right. Tacos, like the street tacos, give me red salsa all day.
Yeah.
But if I'm eating something else, like that.
So say it's after the club, all right? And and you pick up a torta.
Ooh. Why you got to throw it there, bro? Torta with a torta after hours.
What do you smother it with?
Ooh, my love. It depends. But if it's asada, smothering with red sauce.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hate my life the next day because I'm old, bro. My guts don't.
Oh, so yeah. You're,
my guts are like not doing
after
good.
After 35, something changes.
Yeah, man. You can't. That red salsa hits you hard. So for me, I'm going to say this to you. Throw it back to you for a second. My mom's green salsa, my mom's green enchilada is my favorite food in the world. People ask me, what's your favorite food in the world? And I always tell them, I don't really have one because there's so many different foods and cuisines from all over the world that are amazing. You know, really good food. They're all so equally good. But if I had one food that I could have for the rest of my life, my mom's green enchiladas are amazing, bro.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it. Dead and done.
What about you?
It all depends. Red, you know, like Litos, Santa Barbara. It's not like a salsa, but it's more like a pico de gallo.
Oh, so the chip salsa.
Yeah, I put that on everything. If we had that around, it's all I'd eat. But some green salsas, like the one you make, it's more like a guacamole.
Yeah.
But it's also like a salsa. It has like a kick. That's really good. I'll put that on my tacos when you make them. It's really good. But it kind of depends on what you're eating.
Yeah.
So I want your green salsa now. Fuck. You make me some or what? Well, you should have brought me some, food.
Crazy. Right there. There's some avocados right there. I'll make some right now. Shit.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. Shoot another one, Andrew.
There's another one that I saw. Age gaps in dating and all perspectives.
I think when you find love, you find love, or in the process of searching for it. You know, that I mean, unless it's obvious that it's a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, you'd be surprised that, you know, when the planets align for you, it is what it is. You know, I'm not opposed to anyone. I mean, if you were to tell me when you turn 18 that there's like some 60-year-old lady, I'd be like, yo, bro, seriously? Like,
you got to settle down, bro.
Like, you relax.
That's a sugar mama, is what we call them.
So, I don't know. What do you think?
So, for me, it's a difficult question. Not difficult, but I'll answer it the way I can answer it because I'm an old man, and I've been single for a long time. But I've been single. This is going to go into the kind of sidebar subject, but we'll come back to it. So, a lot of people ask me, like, why are you still single? Like, you have your shit together. You're fucking borderline fucking attractive. I'm not, by the way.
You are.
But
I'm actually closing my eyes and I'm listening to your voice. Thank you, baby.
No, but what I'm saying is like, you know, like, why are you single? And I'm like, I'm single for a lot of reasons. But one of the most important reasons I can say I'm single for is because for the last 7.5 years or so of my life, I've been raising my son alone. So when I first got full custody of him, I decided to like put my like sort of dating life on hold and just say, you know, I needed to focus on him, get him to a healthy place. I'm not going to worry about me. I now think, and I've talked about this before in another podcast, but I now think that like that was the worst thing to do in my life because I probably should have ventured out and satisfied my needs as a man and as a human, you know, as well as just raising my kid. Cause I can't be a full complete human to give back and raise my son the best I could to the best of my ability. If I have been single. So in other words, like a female, my son mentioned this in another podcast too, like a female kind of perspective in this household probably would have been a good thing.
Yeah.
So long story short is I've been single for a long time and I grew old during that period of time. However, for whatever reason, I attract a lot of young women.
It's that baby face.
Oof.
That's what it is.
I don't know what it is. But young women are fun. Not all young women are the same, by the way. Some are like a lot of fun, but they're also a lot of headache.
Take notes.
Take notes, Andrew. Take notes.
Young equals headache.
Young does equal headache. Yeah. I like this kid. He's 14, he's learning, man. He's got to tell you, he's a smart kid, man. So, young is a lot of headache.
Equals headache.
There you go, Papa. I love it, man. This mijo right here is a man, dude.
He's learning. On Saturday.
Andrew Perez 2024.
Fuck.
This government needs a better person. This is the man right here.
His music teacher used to call him Mr. President.
Mr. President, yeah. No, Mijo, you got him. You have a career in politics. And in good politics, not this piece of shit politics we have today.
Yeah, hey, I mean, at this point, you know.
Shit. But so to answer your question, I think definitely 100%. That an older gentleman or an older woman can find love in a younger person, 100%.
Yeah.
I just think that there's challenges there. So, like, for me, a challenge would be there's a young girl who still wants to have kids. I don't want to have kids anymore.
Yeah.
My kid's 17 and a half. He'll be 18 soon. Like, I can't even imagine. I can't fucking even begin to imagine to change another diaper in my life. I didn't have to. Yeah, like, unless it's my parents. Travel. Unless it's my parents. You know what I mean? And I got to do something for my family, my life. Like, I can't imagine having to change another diaper in my life or having a sleepless night or dealing with like back to school night on fucking Thursday at night at 8 p.m. because my 8-year-old kid, like, I can't even imagine doing that again.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, some things that I think about, it's like, you know, if somebody asked me, you know, the whole age gap, it's like, all right, cool. How was she when you graduated high school?
Ooh.
And if you're going to go back and be like, dude, she was like in kindergarten, be like, dude, bro, seriously, no.
Don't hate on me, bro.
No, but you know, kidding. But that's a good gauge, you know.
Yeah,
no, where was this person when you graduated?
I got like a 10-year gauge. Anything over, you got to prove yourself. You know what I mean? You got to make
sure you got to earn it.
I got to make sure you ain't crazy. You know what I mean? Like that's my thing. But that's just because for whatever. But it's also because young women are attracted to old men because they think these guys have their shit together. They think these guys are like on top of the world and they're not going to be full of drama. The reality is, no matter what age you're at, people are drama.
Yeah. And seriously, young really? Ladies out there looking for an older guy, they don't all have a podcast.
Shut up. You're so stupid.
Andrew, give us another one.
Yeah.
After hours question right here. Kind of, maybe. Depends after on where you guys hours. Go with this one.
We're just going to cut into it.
Well, it depends on how you take this question. What do you do if you find your old lady at a bar all alone with another dude? All alone with another dude.
Dude.
And she said she was at work.
You gotta return that chick 100%. You gotta get rid of her, right? She's lying, right? Andrew, you're 14. You know she's lying, right?
Well, right off the bat, you know.
She said she was at work.
Yeah, she's lying.
Yeah, so yeah, right there.
Hey, bro. A twin?
Does she have a twin? Like an evil twin?
I don't know. We'll find out.
So I don't know. I mean, I think you would know that right off the bat. Like, wait a minute, you're at work, but it's like 9 o'clock.
I think this follower, I'm sorry, bro, to tell to you, but he's in danger. I think this follower, I'm sorry to tell you, bro, but you gotta get rid of that one. You gotta return that one, get your money back, and move on. Right?
Right there at the club door, be like, all right, my bad.
Yeah, bro, get rid of that one, right? Come on. She told you she was gonna be at work and she's at a bar with another dude and you catch her.
What did Pitbull say? If the girl wanna play, let her go.
Let her go.
There you go. All right, Andrew. We'll do another one here.
I don't know if I want to ask this question.
Is it an after hours one?
No. Just kind of political.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Right.
Ask away.
Do it, Mio. Let's do it. Whatever.
Should we fly our flags at half staff if Trump loses? She lost. So.
Well, I mean, honestly, if that's your dog in the fight and you're gung-ho about it, whatever. I mean, look, when the Cowboys lose... You know, okay.
Your dad's a Cowboys fan. It's a tough season for him.
One breaks his ankle, they all break their ankles.
Yeah, that's ouch. True.
But the thing is, look, you know, I mean, if that's your dog in the fight, you know, and you were barking about it for however long,
right?
You know, don't hide it.
Sure.
Whatever. Taking that loss.
It's a free country, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, fly your flag.
You know, I think that, you know, you shouldn't have shame in what you do if you really believe it. If you only did it to just kind of piss people off, then you were wrong to begin with. You had no need to have any flag. But, you know, I think that, you know, when it comes down to politics, you know, there's professionals out there that can sit there and shoot the shit with people about it. And, you know, for me, if you voted for Biden, if you voted for Trump, you know, it doesn't change who you are with me. If you were cool with me, you're cool with me.
100%.
You know, and I think, you know, when it comes down to politics, you talk about people that... You're not in their economical circle. They don't really give a shit about you. And the truth is that they can't relate with you because, dude, you're out here working Monday through Friday, you know, 8-hour job.
You know, you've been in your bed for like 3 months.
Okay, but I had hip surgery.
You did have hip surgery. So,
yeah, but my hips don't lie no more.
Cochino.
but the thing is that, you know, I mean, would you agree that, you know.
The way I look at it is this way. Fly your flag all you want. I'm going to just say it out right, and I think everyone who's been following me knows this. I adamantly hate Trump, adamantly hate Biden. I don't dislike them both. I think they're both not what America represents.
Well, and I'll tell you, Javi just doesn't like anyone.
That's true. I equally hate everybody.
Before Trump, it was Obama.
Well, no, but let me explain that, though. So I voted for Obama his first... Run him up for president. I thought I was like, dude, I took my son as a baby in my fucking arms to the poll. He was like, mijo, you don't understand. This is the fucking change. This is the change we wanted. Like, this is going to be it. This is everything. I had my son in my arms as I voted at those polls. And my son to this day remembers that. And I said, look, that was 12 years ago, right? He was 5 years old, right? Holding him in my arms. I'm like, papa, you don't understand. I was so proud, like to say, this is it. We finally got here. Minorities finally got here. And the next fucking day after he won that election, his entire cabinet of people that would run his political game for him, he kept, which were Bush's entire cabinet. He changed one person. And I remember the next day going, I'm a dumb motherfucker.
Because it's all politics.
I remember thinking to myself, God, I'm so dumb. I voted in the first black man. Because I thought, because it was identity politics to me, like, this is what it should be. Like, this is amazing. And so you're right, in a sense. So the first ran that Obama had, I was for him. But the day he got into office and he did the same cabinet, I was like, no, it's the same shit. There's no, he ran on change. There was no change. There's no hope in change. It was the same thing.
But I think, you know, when you talk about politics, it's like, look, people are going to tell you they're going to fucking blow smoke up your ass to get themselves there. Like, you know, you sit there and you think about all the shit that Trump said that he was going to do. And I will give him credit in this. It took him 4 years, but he did make America great. too bad it's on his way out because he's no longer there. So yeah, America's
your dad practiced
great
that for like 5 hours.
I thought of that shit while I was taking a dump.
Without getting too political, what I dislike about America today is that we can say like, okay, this person is a pro-Trump person, right? And he may be Latino, for instance. And I'm not, by the way. I hate that I have to preface this with everything I say because I'm Mexican. This is my point, is that like, it's okay for a Mexican or a Puerto Rican or a Cuban or anyone of Latino descent to say, I'm a pro-Trump person. And you shouldn't hate them for that. There's a lot of reasons why somebody may be pro-Trump. You know what I mean? There's a lot of reasons why.
Financially,
yeah. And financially is a big thing, though. Yeah. Like,
that's why, like, you know, when I was telling you guys, you know, at home, I was telling the kids that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people. I guarantee you that there's a lot of celebrities out there, a lot of artists out there that back Trump, not because they believe in what he says, but because it protects their top dollar. It's all about money. So, you know, do you hate someone, you know, because they voted for Trump? No, they have their reasons. Is it okay to dislike someone? Yeah, it's totally okay to dislike. You could dislike someone because they talk shit about
your
shoes. But
you shouldn't disrespect them, though.
No, definitely
not. That's where we go wrong.
Yeah. And I think the second that you voice out, you know, to the point where you're invading other people's privacy or their space or whatever, then you're wrong. Like, don't push your agenda on me. That's just it.
100%.
But if you have the flags out there, hey, man, you know, you're going to look silly. You're going to look silly with them right now. But, hey, you do you, boo.
So I say this, if you want to have a flag on your truck today, that's cool. But 400 years from now, it's like the same thing having 300 years from now, like having a Confederate flag on your truck still. Yeah. You lost the war, let's move on. It's actually, we love to say it's 300 years, but it's been about 120 years since the Civil War or whatever. But that war was lost. Let's move on. Let's pick up and move on. Now, with that said, I think that Biden poses a lot of challenges. You know what I mean? He just won the presidency. And every person I know that's super conservative, super right wing, they're like, oh, well, wait until the votes are in, until they're counted, until the courts approve it. Dude, math is math. Math never lies. So the reality is when you have 100% of votes and 90-some percent of those come in, you know there's only like 3,000 left. You can calculate mathematically what the probability is of this person becoming president. So he has won the vote. Even Fox News came out and said this morning, I was watching Fox News in my freaking chonies this morning, and I was like, thank God, Fox News, holy shit, I was surprised. They said, hey, the reality is this man won the presidency, and there's been no serious reports of serious fraud or anything else, and Fox News is reporting this. So I was like, Fox News, they might not be as unfair and unbalanced as people think they are. I was like, this is actually shocking to me.
Well, and it's funny because I pointed it out yesterday that what Fox was doing is they were starting to have to actually be nonpartisan at that point because
to conform.
Well, they're gonna lose those morning calls because he was calling them every morning. He had a direct line to them. So that was their rating. That was their cash cow. They knew that they had Trump and he would call them every morning. Does it suck that you're gonna kind of jump ship on him? Well, it's politics. And you have to kind of continue reporting. So, you know, I watched some of the stuff, you know, on Fox yesterday and they were interviewing Newt Gingrich.
Oh yeah, Newt.
And he was mad at them because they were asking him hard questions. They weren't hard questions. They were the truth. And he's over here sitting, fighting about, you know, how everything's wrong and this and that. And I'm like, dude, like when Fox is going to sit there and go against the party that they've been backing this whole time, then you realize like, dude, there's change happening.
For sure. Yeah. And what you're seeing there is it boils down to money.
Yeah.
It's always money. Follow the money. So when you're growing up in your life, just make sure you follow the money, because the reality is people don't, the uneducated voter is the most dangerous thing in America.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say some hard topics today that really, right now, that really upset some people earlier. So when I was watching TV earlier, right, like you see this entire landscape of a bunch of people just celebrating all over the country, right? All these, and they're all inner cities. They're all Democratic-run inner cities, huge cities, and they're flying these big LGBT flags, right? And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, these are the uneducated voters, because the reality is, the fact is, not the reality, the fact is that Biden didn't even approve or want same-sex marriage.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
until 12 years ago. Yeah.
Well, no, 12 because they asked him. Yes,
but he's been a politician for 7 years. He's voted anti-same-sex marriage, anti-gay for literally generations and decades. And it wasn't until 2012 that he was like, "Oh, it's my second run," because he was already the vice president, right? It was him and Obama. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to rerun again. I need to reshape shift what people think I'm for so I can get their vote. So now I'm for same-sex marriage." Biden is a hardcore Catholic, like a legit Catholic. They don't believe in same-sex marriage. They don't believe in gayness or whatever. And here's the deal. I'm one of those people that I don't believe in anything. I believe in that you should be able to do what the fuck you want to do and how you want to do it. And no one should tell you any different.
Yeah.
So to me, but I am a supporter of gay rights, 100%. I've always been, right? So to me, it's wildly confusing to me to see these people go out on the streets and fly these flags that are LGBT just because they're Democratic, because they're progressive, and to not understand that Biden didn't even support your cause until 8 years ago. He was 69 years old at the time that he decided to support this. It's not because he morally supports this. He politically supports it so he can get votes.
But we live in a world where it's what have you done lately? And unfortunately, people aren't going to remember what was done 10 years ago. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, what he's saying is an uneducated voter is probably your biggest enemy. That's true. You know, the truth is that everyone's going to blow smoke up your ass no matter what. Always. I mean, it's been done for years, and it's not going to be the last time that they do it to us. You know, and I say they, meaning politicians, just because, you know, if you're going to make change, you got to change yourself and you know, what's going to benefit you. No one's going to take care of you more, or no one's going to look out for you more than yourself. And that's just the truth. So I'm not saying don't go vote. I'm not saying, you know, screw the vote or whatever. No, go out there and vote. I mean, you're still going to make changes locally. I think that, you know, local politics are important. I think that if there's stuff that, you know, you agree with.
They're the most important.
Yeah. You know, because that's the actual change that's affecting you, you know, in your neighborhood, you know, your mayor, your, you know, all that stuff.
State, even state.
Yeah.
So like the most important thing is like on the ballot, the ballot, there was so many things on the ballot that were crazy.
Yeah.
Like if you read the ballot, you're like, holy shit, like Oregon.
I have they woken up or are they still all tripping out?
They're still tripping out, bro.
Did they pass the law?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
so you can be on shrooms right now in Oregon.
Drugs won the war.
Not just shrooms. You can be on crack, heroin. You
got all the hard drugs. But if you think about it, Oregon now.
They are. And if you think about it, it actually removes some of the stress from the judicial system. Because now, you know, you're thinking about, you know, it's like, okay, am I going to bust this guy because he has a couple of joints in his pocket? Or am I going to bust his dealer? So a lot of it is politics. It's like you have to, you know, let the little fish go. We'll get the bigger fish.
I think that's the first experiment we're going to see in this country of how hard drugs either really do or not affect people.
You know what I think it is? I think that's Oregon wanting people to move up there.
Hey, Joe Biden's son is going to be up there, Hunter Biden. He's gonna party.
Did you like Oregon when you were up there?
I mean, everything was kind of uneasy. Oregon was cool, but when we went to Portland, that was when all the, like, the riots were going on and everything. It was kind of, everyone was scared to be in Portland. But Oregon itself was a beautiful place. It was cool. People there were nice.
Would you move up there?
I don't know. I'd probably have to go back there and kind of get another go at it and see.
How was the food?
Would I like this long term?
How was the food?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it unseasoned? If I gave you a crack rock, would you go up there?
Like we're biting trees.
It's just crazy, man. I think that situation up there is wild because if you watch like Live PD and they stopped Live PD because all the rioting and shit, like that was a great show, by the way. But if you watch that like every night, at least like three times a night on that show, somebody was getting Narcan to save their lives.
Yeah.
And cops were saving those lives. So what is Oregon going to look like? I don't know the population of Oregon, so I can't talk too deep into numbers and whatever else, but like, what is it going to look like when people are just like, oh, I can go to Oregon and just get hammered all I want on any drug and it's cool.
Yeah. If you're listening to the podcast, if you live in Oregon, let us know.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Cause
I would love to hear from it.
I mean, it's not my podcast, but I'm shit talking.
And I hope you're still alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then they wouldn't be listening.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a Michael George's moment right there.
That was George's.
Fucking George's.
George's.
Fuck.
That little homie.
Yeah.
Let's say little homie. He's my big homie.
Michael George's, George Michael's coincidence.
Kind of gay. But it's okay, though.
Jeezy, what's up?
He's never going to come out of the closet. I love Jeezy. He's good. He's a good man. Just kidding, George's. I love you. I know you're not gay. And even if you were, I'd still love you.
Even more.
Even more.
Do we have another one, Andrew? Do we dare jump into another question from Instagram?
What are the ones that we have? Yeah, we got a lot of them on there. If not, I got one I could bring up.
Well, actually, I have a question.
Good. Shoot it. Oh, shoot all your questions.
Well, so one of them's a question. One of them's a topic. Like, a topic would be like gay rights. Something big is like I joined VADA. It's a visual art design academy.
Sure.
At Santa Barbara High. Their big thing is like, be you. No one's gonna like discriminate. We're like a family, you know. Just be you. No one really cares what you believe in, what you're attracted to. Be you. In a Zoom call, not a Zoom call, Zoom meeting for English class, there was somebody that said, oh, I got my phone taken away because I accidentally came out.
Interesting.
Do you think parents should punish their kids for coming out and being different?
So that's a very deep, deep question. Here's what I can say. I could say that being a parent, back to remember when I told you my son said, hey, be nice to your parents. We're winging it too, you know what I mean? And we are a very different generation. So coming out to a parent, you should almost always want to expect there to be a little bit of some weirdness in the beginning. Maybe a lot of weirdness, maybe a lot of drama, maybe whatever. But I firmly believe, and I know out of experience in my family with gay people coming out and that kind of thing, that it's really rough up front. But it becomes a normal thing down the road. You know what I mean? Like it becomes an accepted thing. And it's like, okay, because at the end of the day, like if you're my son, you're my fucking blood. You're my son. You know what I mean? And I'm never, ever going to be like, ah, fuck him if he's gay. Not in 2020. Maybe in 1950. Maybe in 1930. But in today's day and time and age, that's a thing that I don't think is a, I hope and I pray and I believe it's not a thing anymore. But it's a tough thing, though, and it's okay. It's okay. What gay young people need to understand is it's okay for their parents in the same way to not agree with that up front. Like in the same thing with these elections, not agree with it. It's okay to understand that they will come around, and it's okay to even say that, hey, I don't agree with it, but I love you. And so whatever you are, I'm going to support that, and I'm going to be okay with that. You know what I mean? It's just a tough thing, man. It's a tough thing for people in our generation. Like, I grew up in a generation where calling a guy like saying, hey, you're being a fucking fag was a normal thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still say shit to like that to my friends of the day, but it doesn't mean that I'm being mean. It's just the way I grew up.
I think culturally it's different. And I know that, you know, being, you know, from a Mexican family, that is something that you don't speak of or whatever. But, you know, being a dad and understanding, I mean, you know that the conversations we have at home, we're very open-minded. And, you know, for me, I wouldn't have an issue with it. I think it's important for someone to be able to voice out. The second that a child is able to tell you, hey, look, this is who I am.
Right.
Dude, that's big.
Sure.
Because how 100%. Many kids don't go their whole lifestyle, you know, hiding it? Right. And you know, they don't come out until they're adults or whatever. And you think about like everything that they were put through and all that stuff is just building up. So that child, that kid, whoever said, hey, this is who I am, and the parents took away their phone or whatever, that's a fail on the parents, because the parents took it upon themselves to be angry and put themselves first. That's selfish. I think 100%. I think a parent to say, you know what, give me your fucking phone or whatever, it's not going to change who that kid is. The kid just told you. The kid became more your child because you've always told a person, anyone, whether it's your child or not, you got to be honest. And when somebody is honest with you and tells you, hey, this is who I am, and you shut them down, then you're really not letting them be.
Right. Yeah. You know? It's just different times, man, different generations. But I think it's tough. I think a lot of kids these days are really afraid to do that kind of thing. But I also think there's a lot of kids that are coming out, which is crazy to us because, like, when we grew up, for instance, there was maybe, like, we knew, like, two guys in our entire school who were like, yeah, that guy's gay. Like, we knew he was gay. No one hated him. No one picked on him. We just knew he was gay. Like, it was that was a gay guy. We can just tell it was a different time. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was a different time. Where today there's a lot more of this coming out, and it's just a challenging time for men, I think, to be like, oh, it's not a male thing. It's not I'm not male enough if my son's gay. Like, that's not it. I mean, I think the most important thing I want to say about this to young kids and especially parents out there and men that are listening to this, if your son is gay, all that means literally, it means one thing. Literally means one thing. Because I'm tired of people using gay as like this is who I am. I get you're gay, but that means one thing. It means who you want to fuck. It literally means one thing. It means who you're attracted to physically, who you're sexually attracted to. That's all it means. There's a million other things about yourself if you're gay that are important and that are way more important than who you want to fuck. You know what I mean? And so to me, that's the way I look at it. And I will say that it is crazy to me in a sense how much gayness is in the world because it's not, let me rephrase that. How much we perceive gay to be like in our face all the time. So like reality, TV, radios, like they're bombarding us with the ideal, like everybody's gay. And it's not really that. It's like 5 years ago, the percentages were like 0.2%, which is like several percent. And then a couple years later, it was 2%. And now it's like at 6% gay, which is like, that means 6 in 100 people are gay in our numbers that we have today. And don't quote me on that, people. Don't fucking murder me for that. But that's what I've been reading. But the reality is like when you go on TV, you go on radio shows, you go on any kind of reality TV, whatever it is, there's just a super like crazy gay kind of like thing going on. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I get it. But I also think, and I hope, let me say it this way. I really genuinely hope that society is okay with it and that they will continue to be okay with it. And it's getting better, you know?
It is.
It's a generational change, you know?
And but I also think that a lot of that, you know, it's like the glorification of it. You know, when you watch TV and you see all these people that are gay, that are successful, not everyone has that path. Not everyone is going to be going to have that support. I mean, we talk about mental health, you know? There's
support,
a lot of people
support.
There's a lot of people that commit suicide because they're afraid to actually come out and say who they are. Yeah. So, you know, the glorification of it on TV and, you know, all that stuff can either be good or bad for who you are. And, you know, I think that, you know, as a child, as an adult, as whatever age you are and you feel like you want to come out, do it. And if you feel like you can't come out to those closest to you, find a group.
Yeah.
Find someone that's going to be out there, you know, and understand. And, you know, we live in a world where we carry a computer in our pocket all the time. If you need a support group, they're out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, for a student to be able to say that, that's big on them, you know, because it's not a lot of kids have that, you know, that power, or they feel like they have the power to say it. And, you know, for the parent to say, hey, you know, give me your phone or whatever. I personally, I don't think that I'd do that. I think that I've told you if you know, if you're going to like a dude, he better be the best looking dude out there. I ain't letting you bring no ugly dude home.
He better be like Brad Pitt, bro, if you're going to bring him home, you know?
That fool's old, eh?
No, I'm just saying, but, man, you know, you ask one of the toughest topics, man. And I really respect you for that because it's a tough one today for a lot of parents. I just genuinely wish that people will understand it means one thing, and that's all. You know what I mean? It's all it means, man. There's so much more to these kids today that matter. You know what I mean? There's a whole gamut of things about humanity that's more important than who you want to fuck. And that's the thing. Like, I hope people don't fucking hang me out to dry because I'm going to say this, but like, just because you're gay, don't make that your entire life. Like, in other words, if you're gay, I know some gay dudes that are some strong, yoked ass fools. were like a gay dude that you would never guess was gay. You would never know that. Well, what was gay.
You know what I mean? Think about, you know, you professional sports.
Yeah.
They're there. For sure. Just, they don't want to come out.
Yeah. So what is it? What does it matter who you want to fuck? I don't care about that. Like, I genuinely don't care about that.
Be happy.
Yeah. Be happy, man. Get you know, life is short. Find what makes you happy. And if you find your thing, no matter what it is, fucking pursue it, man.
Just don't be like a vegan. Don't tell me every 5 minutes.
Yeah. You can't be a vegan, bro.
Don't be a vegan.
I know.
Yeah. Vegans are something else, man. I can't
if you're
do
Mexican, you can't be a vegan.
Well, actually, you know what? If you're Mexican, that's like your base. I mean, you got corn tortillas.
Yeah, but you like a taco? I'm sorry. You can't have
you not had
taco.
Frijoles, fool?
Have you not had tacos you de calabaza?
Burrito?
Yeah, but no. You can't have a taco without asada or chicken.
You can, and I'll tell you when. I'll tell you when.
Don't say tofu, fool. I'll punch
you. No.
He's going to say chorizo.
No. Lent.
I'll punch him again.
No. Quaresma. When everybody's in Lent, you can't eat meat.
That's
true. You want to have a taco.
Chirrenos or queso and all that shit. Yeah,
see, chirreno tacos, dude. And salsa, that's vegan. That's so there you go. You can be vegan and eat tacos.
Okay. Can you have shrimp during the same time or no? Pescado, you're not supposed to.
Oh, no. You actually, during Lent, you do.
You can, right?
Yeah, you do. You
shrimp, give me a shrimp taco. I'm good. That's got me a little bit.
Yeah, but then you're a pescatarian.
Whatever, I'm a pescatarian. Then call me that, whatever you want to call me.
What you call me? Fool?
Call me whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me skinny because I'm a fat motherfucker. That's good shit, man.
Do we have another topic that you want to talk about? Or?
Do you think moving forward, people get offended too easily?
Describe moving forward.
I feel like, personally, as humanity goes on, you know, people are only getting more sensitive, and you got to watch your words, you know. Comedy, like,
Be
selective as to what you say and
like
what
the cancel.
Yeah, cancel culture. So but this has been going on for a long time. Even when we were your age, actually younger.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, there was a bunch of shows on TV about cancel culture, about actually political correctness. What they called it then was PC, political correctness. So this is nothing new. This is the left finding ways to get upset. By the way, I hate using pejorative terms like left and progressives and liberals, but this is the democratic way of making other people look stupid because they make jokes and whatever else. Political correctness has been a thing for the longest time. Bill Maher had a show, I think it was called Political Incorrectness, I think. That was in the early 90s. I mean, this is something that was like 20, 30 years old, and I'm sure it was 23 years old before then, and maybe another 20 years old before then. This has been going on for a long time. This kind of song and dance has been going on for a long time. But I hope we get back to the day where, like, I can make a fucking funny joke and be like, well, you're a paisa, and, you know, you're I want to make racist jokes and have fun with it. And, like, we can't do that anymore, and I'm tired of that. So what I'm saying is it goes in waves.
Yeah.
It goes ups and downs, and right now it's way up. You can't say anything about anybody.
Well, and the thing is that now you have, you know, this. You have a phone that's going to tie you to anything that you said at some point. And, you know, you have athletes that, you know, end up going to the pros, or are they going to get drafted? Oh, they shouldn't get drafted because he said this when he was in junior high.
Right.
You know, he tweeted this or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Do I think people are easily offended? I don't think people are as easily offended as they are as into kind of stirring the pot. If you can, you know, I mean, we watch movies that are really old. We watch movies from the 80s, 90s that now, they wouldn't fly. They wouldn't get the same rating that they had then. You know, you have a movie that was PG-13 in 1980, it's going to be a NC-17 or rated R movie because of the language, because of, you know, some of the
Spaceballs.
Right?
Just think of Spaceballs. Spaceballs has some crate, and it's written by a Jewish dude and produced by a Jewish dude who has the most fucking racially inappropriate comedy in it whatsoever. But it's a great fucking thing. You couldn't produce Spaceballs today. It's killing art.
When they tell him to comb the desert.
Right.
I mean, yeah. What do they
expect? I ain't seen shit.
Yeah, and what are they combing it with?
A comb.
With a pick.
Like a with a pick.
Not a broom. A comb.
It's black guys combing the desert with a pick. It's like, I ain't seen shit.
I ain't found shit.
Yeah, you know? I ain't found shit, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's.
What about Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, where are the white women at?
When the guy comes in, when the black sheriff comes in to the, he comes back into the city, right? He's wearing all, I think it's not Chanel. It's it's Louis Vuitton or something. But he's wearing, like, this is like 30 years ago, by the way. He comes riding in, and the guy goes, oh, shit, the sheriff's coming. Oh, shit, he's coming. Oh, shit, he's a N-word written by a Jewish guy. You know what I mean?
So
when can we get back to that? Because that's fucking hilarious. If you haven't seen Blazing Saddles, fuck you. Watch it. You need to watch it. Okay. It's probably not 14-year-old appropriate.
Willy Wonka's in it.
Yeah, well, the original Willy Wonka. Yeah, of course, Willy Wonka.
Gene Wilder.
It opens up with Asians like working the railroads, which is like a total, it was totally inappropriate back then because there were Asians were like the slaves back then in a sense. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's, but again,
now
I'm tired of the fucking appropriateness. Let's make fun of everybody. You call me equally, a beaner, call me a fat ass, tell me I like frijoles and I like quesadillas or whatever. Whatever you want to say about me, or I have 50 million kids, that's fine. Let's do it. Let's have fucking fun.
Yeah.
That's my answer to your question, Mijo.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you should also know how to read a room. You're not going to go spew a joke, you know, somewhere where, you know, you're not going to go drop, you know, the N-word if you're cool with, you know, some people, but then you go into like a group that you don't know. You're not going to go drop, you know, beaner in front of a bunch of people that you don't know. I think it's like, you know, you kind of, you read your room, you make the jokes. I mean, at home, we say a lot of stuff that's funny, but, you know.
You
we,
say a lot of stuff?
Really?
I know better than say anything. Cause
you quote Felipe Esparza.
What are you talking?
No? Felipe is the man, by the way. He's I love
just because mom can't swim doesn't, like.
Just because mom can't swim.
Bad person.
But, you know, I think that. Yes, I think people are a little bit too sensitive when it comes to certain things. But I also think that a lot of people use their feelings to attract attention. I mean, the fact that people are quick to record someone instead of calling 911, they want to get that shock value. They don't want to get help. So, you know, when it comes down to it, is like, yeah, people are offended quickly. Yeah, quickie, sorry.
Bam, thank you, ma'am.
Sas por atrás.
Hey, it's a 14-year-old on the mic. Stop it.
Sorry. But anyways.
Sorry, mijo. That was your dad. And your mom's going to get mad at him later.
I can ask her about it later.
That's cool.
The point is that people are going to go ahead and get offended when they want to get offended. And, you know, if you really think about the basics, like, okay, am I going to record someone or am I going to call for help? Were you really offended? No, you weren't offended. You want
to
make a statement.
And what does that offended really do to you? I mean, the reality is when we grew up, like the biggest saying was sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, that's what we said. Like, we taught each other, like, words are like whatever, you know what I mean? Because the reality is it's tough growing up. Being a human is tough, man. Society is tough. Nature is tough. The idea that we can bubble wrap everything is just so silly to me. And I'm tired of it because I come from nothing. You know what I mean? And people are like, what about male privilege? I'm fucking like a fat Mexican. Like, there's fucking nothing worse in this world than a fat Mexican today. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to
two
fat Mexicans. So when it comes to like, oh, well, you know, you have male privilege. Fuck you. I have no male privilege whatsoever. Like, are you telling me that somehow somebody gave me like this step up on a ladder that I was going to do better in life because I'm fucking a man? No, I'm a fat Mexican, man. No one give a fuck about me. Like,
I think you work for what you have and you hustle, get out there, do your thing, do what you got to do. You know, if you're out there getting help, then accept it and be humble about it and, you know, always be graceful, you know.
Be graceful about
it. But, you know, when I think, you know, when they say because you're a man, it's not always easy. You know, if you're a man and you're a certain color, it might be a little bit easier. But then that has nothing to do with you being a man. It has everything to do with your skin color. And I think that, you know, do men benefit? Yeah. Do men make more money than women? Yeah, they do. But, you know, there's women out there that are making way more money than men. And you know what? Right. Props to them.
There's reasons behind that, by the way.
Well, whatever the reason is. That's a whole
other conversation.
Whatever the reasons are.
That's a whole can of fucking onions we can open up, or onion layers we can peel back.
Yeah.
Again.
That's Javi saying it, not me.
Yeah. Because I come with, like, when I study these things, you know?
Yeah.
And it bothers me. Like, I'm like, I come from fucking nothing. I have nothing. I'm not Brad Pitt looking. There's no one gave me shit in this fucking world. Like, to say that I make more than you because I'm a man, it's just silly. It's silly. And facts and science prove that. And if you think I'm fucking crazy, go Google Jordan Peterson and that topic. And he's somebody who's an actual expert in it. And he'll correct it. I don't have to correct it because, well, maybe if you want to talk to me about it, fucking DM me and I'll talk to you about it and I'll fucking send you some links. But it's just the idea that like things are so upside down. Put it this way. In the history of humankind, in the history of humankind that we know it as far as documented history, life has never been easier for humans than it is right now where we're sitting right now in America. Ever. Okay? In Santa Barbara, where we come from. 200 years ago, 300 years ago, no one was coming to spend millions of dollars of fucking money on being a tourist. They were coming to rape and pillage your kids and everything else. Like, society is so easy to get along and to live in and to thrive in if you want to, if you work hard, all those things. It's so fucking easy today that we have to make drama for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's fucking easy. Like, we live in a time that's so easy. Think about this. Like, 100 years ago, there was no ice in the refrigerator to keep your food cold. You had to go to a fucking plant that cut ice out for you and you'd put it in your refrigerator to keep your meat cold. You could keep meat for a year now in a refrigerator, no problem.
People age it and then sell it for more.
Exactly. Like we're in a weird time where people think it's so bad. It's not bad, people. Take a step back, sit down, take a deep breath. Even with all these elections and all the shit that's going on, take a deep breath, just sit down, fart, have a cup of coffee.
There you go.
And realize that you don't have to do shit for that cup of coffee. You don't have to fucking know how to plant beans and how to fucking grow them, how to produce them, how to make coffee, all the shit that would be people in the past had to do. Like, it's so easy today, man. Today, life is really easy.
We're spoiled.
We're really spoiled and we're forgetting about it. And that's the biggest thing that bothers me the most about today.
You know, people had to read about what you're saying and now they get to hear it on a podcast.
Oh, fuck, man. Pick up a book, motherfuckers, because books are important.
After you listen to the podcast.
Andrew, history is everything, man.
History is probably one of my most favorite subjects in school. But I think it's because I had two really great teachers in junior high. They were really entertaining. Shout out Mr. Borden.
Mr. Borden.
Santa Barbara Junior High.
Yeah, praise him. I don't know who he is, but praise him for the fact that this young man here is telling me that history is important to him. Praise that teacher.
So I mean, it's not important to RJ, my brother, apparently. I mean, yeah. Things that come out of his mouth make you want to smack well, him sometimes.
We're all different.
He's uneducated.
So
he's uneducated. Yeah. What do they say? Uncultured swine?
Yes.
You uncultured swine?
He's not a man of culture.
He made his own version. He said uncultured squine.
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 He's not woke and didn't know the word, so he made his own.
So, quick story, Mr. Borden.
Yeah.
When I went to Santa Barbara Junior High, that was his first year there, I believe, and he was my algebra teacher. And went to go meet.
So he was there back in our day?
Yeah. No. So you left. Or no, I
left.
No. You were
93, 92.
You were in eighth grade and he was doing seventh grade algebra.
Okay. So I was gone.
So,
right. Okay.
No. So you were 1 year ahead. So you didn't have him anymore because right. He was doing seventh grade. And then I went to go, you know, with Andrew and, you know, he kind of looked at me and he was like, oh, shit.
He's like, you're that bison from back in the day. I remember you.
I'm like, damn. I'm like, you used to have hair. But yeah, no, I, you know, shout out to the educators out there. If you're a teacher, you know, a teacher, praise them. They're underfunded.
And overworked.
Overworked for sure. You know, I want to send a shout out to Santa Barbara High School Music Department just because, you know, the teacher there, Mr. Aguilera, he's, you know, working with a bunch of kids that, you know, really have a passion for music.
Right.
And, you know, if you're a teacher out there, I applaud you. Thank you. Thank you for doing, you know, what you do. I know that there's a lot of money that doesn't come to you guys' pocket and a lot of it actually leaves your pocket to help these kids. Right. But, you know, the music department is one that I can speak of because I know that a lot of these kids don't have the support that, you know, like a big program like football, you know, right. football gets all the money. You know, you have other groups where the money's there and, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that some of these groups just don't get the funding that they deserve. You know, you can't have a football game without band.
Right, that's true.
How would that sound?
What about that band that played I Got Five on It? Did you see that?
I did. That was, I know USC did that.
Okay.
USC did that. The USC has, you know, some pretty cool stuff. We actually, Santa Barbara High School had a kid recently that she went down to USC and, you know, she did her thing down there with the band, but you know, it's just really hard to do, you know, you kind of, you're proud of these kids that they make it out of high school and they go, you know, to a bigger program. But I mean, it's bringing us full circle. I think educators, you know, big ups to that.
Yeah, big ups to them. All of them, man. It's not an easy job, man. It's not an easy
especially
job.
If you're doing kindergarten, because that's like key. That's what's going to establish these kids to be able to understand, you know, time and, you know,
planting those seeds.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, first and foremost, Andrew, I want to thank you for being on here, man, because I've been wanting to make this podcast like kind of a real shit talk podcast. Like, I want to talk about some real shit and some things that matter. And I had my son on for the first couple. Everyone knows that. But it's cool and refreshing to see you come on and talk about all the things we talked about. And it's just, to me, it's really refreshing to see young men have a good head on their shoulders, you know? And I hope and I pray genuinely that society continues to bless young men, because we're getting away from that. And I'm going to be honest right now. Right now, it's a huge kind of, you know, I am woman, Henry Rohr thing. And I don't want to forget about young men, because young men matter too. That's an important thing to me. And thank you a lot for being a good, wholesome, hearted young man. That's fucking amazing. You're mostly that because of your dad and your mom, for sure, right? But it's awesome. It's awesome to see that there's still like a really good generation of kids, because a lot of us think there's not. Like we're like, oh man.
Like something happened in the 90s. What happened there?
Yeah, Tupac died and shit. Biggie got shot, yeah. And then everything went to shit after that. You know what I mean? But it's just really good to know that there's young men out there that have a good head on their shoulders, man. And that's because you guys are going to be the leaders of the next generation. And that's really important. You know what I mean? It's really, really, really extremely important, you know? So thank you for that. And I appreciate both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
Fuck, man. It's been a good conversation, man.
Yeah. And thank you for that topic, Andrew, because I think that, you know, a lot of kids are going to deal with it, you know, with coming out to their family. And, you know, once again, I just want to say, anybody listening out there, you know, if you get the opportunity to be that ear that somebody comes out to, don't turn the ear, you know, make sure that you're there for them. And if you can't help, if you don't have the answer, don't be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
You know, listen,
man, just listen, man.
You know, because sometimes, you know, no matter what it is, whether you're coming out or whether, you know, you got dumped or whatever issue you have, if somebody's reaching out to you to tell you like, hey, this is what I'm going through, it doesn't cost anything to just listen.
So. Yeah. I would rather. And so to me, because we talked about earlier about friends and suicide and that kind of stuff, I would rather listen to you for 5 hours and have to attend your 1 hour funeral. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
At the end of the day, if things are tough, they're rough for you, man. I've dealt with a lot of loss in my life. I would rather sit down and listen to you for 20 fucking hours of you crying out on my shoulder than have to attend a 1 hour funeral. So if you are out there and you're a man or a woman or anybody struggling, please seek help. It's really important. These kids today are blessed. I really am more and more impressed with them all the time. I talk a lot of shit about them as jokes, but it's heartfelt, and it's very heartfelt and warming to me to know that these young kids out here are still doing good. So, man, appreciate it. Hashing it out with Javi.
Yeah. Anything you want to say before
we
leave?
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
I mean, but any parting words? Any?
We don't have to stop now, man. If you got some more shit to say, let's keep going.
I don't know. I think we kind of covered most of it.
All right.
You sure? Well, we can do another episode.
Anything that's on your mind.
Coming soon.
Yeah. Part two. To be continued.
Part two with the Mijo and the band.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Coming too.
Javi, thank you. Thank you very much. This is really cool. Just got to, you know, I think it's getting dark and I'm in Oxnard.
So. Well, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate you guys, man. Much love, respect. Keep it safe out there. And everybody out there dealing with the stupid ass elections and all this dumb bullshit, man, just remember to love each other. It's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, 99.999999% of you are not going to be affected by who the fuck the president is. All right? So keep it out there. Peace, love, and chicken grease, man. I love you guys. Peace out. Have a good one.
Fuck you, Eddie.